It's all good. It's all good.
We don't need to follow your rules. Yeah. When you're sleeping, I creep into your head.
And then there's... he's riding a fox.
I believe that's true.
I believe that's true. Factually, that is
fact.
That is fact.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 62nd episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for November 2016. In this episode, we try and brainstorm some new expansions for Dead Zone. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
And welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. This is episode 62. Behind us, you can hear the celebrations of Guy Fawkes Day, so please ignore all the fireworks and such. With me today is my ever knowledgeable, esteemed colleague, young Mr. Rob Harper.
Yeah, hello.
And I'm Jack. And we're here to fill your mushy brain pan full of all manner of information.
Information.
In all Dead Zone related.
Theoretically.
In theory.
And we are starting with some news, because something big just happened last month, and this is the wrap-up for it.
Something big.
Oktoberfest, no. The Star Saga Kickstarter ended with exactly 3,000 backers. I like that it was exactly 3,000. And 410,198 buckaroos.
400,000 was what you had guesstimated well in advance of the closing mark. So, again.
I'm a guru.
You're a guru.
And, yeah.
You're a Luke guru.
In the end, lots of stuff with the game. Tons of characters. Let's see, with miniatures you get Captain Erica Dolinsky, Wrath, Kirby, Elise, Francisco the Devil Salvaggio, Ogun Hellcar, that's the dwarf, 2 Sentry Guns, 2 Force Field Generators, a Guard Commander Braves, I guess his name is.
That's a whole lot of stuff right there. Are we going to name everything? Because that is a big pile.
Yep, just lots of stuff. We got the Chovar, Dr. Lucas Coyer, Monarch, which is the... I guess he's a bad guy. He's the enforcer guy. I
would of course he is.
I guess so.
Monarch!
The Monarch. And the minions with the Monarch are...
21?
Yep, 21, 17. No, lots of them. Plus you get the character expansion creator, mission expansions, tons of bonus items, including an aberration, a whole nameless group.
That's what's making my nethers tingle.
I don't think we talked about the nameless because we never had a chance. I think it never came out when we were talking about it.
No, it was a last minute addition because I would have foisted over. I would have peeled back a couple of the greenbacks out of my wallet, and because they look. The last time we talked, I told you they looked like the creatures from the creatures from the Dark Crystal.
Yes, they. What were they called? I can't remember. We figured the name. They're giant, like crab, like guys.
Yeah, it starts with a G. They look aquatic. I'm looking forward to painting them.
Yep, we've had some experience because usually Wrath of Kings. What are they called? Hadros.
Yeah, they're. I forget what they're called in Wrath of Kings, but they're just big crab people, and I really liked painting them. I really liked the way. That's what I'm looking forward to. That is what. If nothing else, I wouldn't mind taking one or two of those guys and giving them the carapace once over.
And also more Pathfinders, more the new Stage 3, Plague Stage 3s, and more zombies.
Zombies.
We have so many zombies. We might be handing out zombies at Adepticon. Look for us at Adepticon, just handing out zombies.
Here you go, sir. Have a zombie.
And there's also some painted stuff from it. We got the Asterian leader from a Warpath. This is from a Warpath. And it's Tenurgu. He's like a new Asterian leader.
he would make a good the current leader right now, like the just the
Cypher Prime.
The Cypher Prime, because with the sword and stuff, like an alternate sculpt of that. I like the pose. I like the
stance. The sword's cool. I really how they painted it too is very cool.
Yes, yes. Because he's perched. They like to perch those Asterians.
I know. Dangerously perched. And then from the Star Saga, we got Salvaggio all painted up, all burned faced and all. He's cool. And then there's Salvaggio about to burn some plague. Cool base, too. I think that's the nice painted up bases there they did.
And yeah, painted in like to match the Star Saga, the train that they had. Obviously, that's been painted by a professional as well.
Security guards. I like how the security guards look. They look very security guard like, not like Marines and not like enforcers or anything, or Rebs or anything.
No, no. Yeah, the closest you could say is maybe they've got a full corporation flair in some of the uniform areas, but they look like corrections officers.
Yeah, a little bit with their hats.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's Star Saga is over. We're waiting for Warpath Kickstarter to come, and we're waiting with bated breath. And that should be any time now. So by the next episode, theoretically, we'll have that to talk about. Maybe even do a crackle unboxing.
Maybe. Both possibly in the same location. I know the last unboxing we did for that taster pack, we were at two locations. The sound quality not great, but...
Well, that kind of worked because I was able to mute some of the crackle in your end. So.
And you lived you at home, you sitting on your Chesterfields and perhaps commuting to work. You lived vicariously through Rob, who also couldn't exactly see what was going on.
And I couldn't touch things and caress them and lick them.
Ironically, I think it's the first unboxing in which it hadn't been previously unboxed by my co-host.
Before I didn't sneak into your house and unbox it first.
The pre-unboxing is kind of a tradition almost at this point.
It is. Fortunately, you broke tradition.
Yes.
Bastard. Anyways, we'll be right back after a romantic ad, and we'll see you then.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Rob and Jack on Dead Zone, the podcast.
And we're back. Now we have it's almost getting back to normal days now. We have to think of things to talk about because we're in between stuff.
I think we got plenty. I think we have a plethora of things. Not only are we in the Manta community with Coach and having discussions about building teams and
et cetera.
All that stuff, but we're also playing like madmen, and you know we got an active Dead Zone social life.
So let's talk about expansions and models and things we want to in the future, like things we'd love to see. Do you have things that you'd want to see in the future?
Expansions into Dead Zone. I would say if we're not counting Warpath being transitioned into Dead Zone, if that's off the table, because
I'm saying like actually like Nexusi or Infestation. Or
I think we have enough factions.
Well, we need GCPS is the last faction we need.
We're already starting to double up on some
of the Nameless, because Nameless we're
skill sets. Oh, yeah, the Nameless. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Factions, well, I'm thinking more expansions like other planets, maybe an ice planet.
Like Hoth?
Yeah, like you get a snowboard with...
A snowboard?
Radical. You know, like a snow mat with maybe they could sell some... snow terrain, or actually even terrain ideas. Any terrain ideas you have? We were talking about before, Forge Fathers. We thought that'd be cool to make, cause so far all the terrain has been human, like a corporation based, but maybe like a Forge Fathers one with all
a Battle Zones set that had, like a stone facade that you could use for interiors or, You had mentioned like an Asterian one that had like curves and
more
stuff.
More curvy, yeah.
That you could build different type buildings than the ones we're accustomed to. But as for a setting, I would be more interested because a lot of people like the campaign books and the stuff that involved in the fluff, and it's not necessarily for me. If you were to have a world I would want you to A, visit one of the races we already know, and the Indish homeworld.
It's like jungly.
Jungly.
Because that was in one of the Dreadball games. Azure 4 or something like that is the one. I think that was the Indish homeworld. And that was like jungly and.
You know your stuff. That's a deep cut. I'm
a professional.
You are.
I believe it's called, the expansion was called Azure 4 or something like that.
It is now.
Azure Forest, I think it is. But, yeah. Yeah, jungles. Jungles would be interesting. GW just did their Lost Patrol, which was in a jungle. Do you think that people would wrongly claim that they're just ripping that off?
I'm not part of the social zeitgeist. You would probably know the reaction of, well, I know what you would say. All the whiny bitches from all four corners. I know that's.
And I know what you would say. You'd say, big deal.
So I'm not worried.
Yeah. But it'd be like tree forts, fighting in tree forts.
Like a little Ewoky.
Ewoky, yeah.
And not Jabberwocky. That would be totally different.
And then we get a new Yindish leader or something for that.
Yeah.
Elite list.
An elite list with a Yindish on the Yindish homeworld and maybe. Whatever infestation is plaguing them.
Edik Pamir, the Yindish, the Merc, he doesn't have a elite list yet, right? I don't think so. He wasn't in either of the books, I don't think. So yeah, he's right there waiting.
Yeah, so that's what I would like to see. Source material.
Bring back the Swordspawn.
That's the Sorak, though.
Are they from the same planet?
Are they?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. They look more deserty. I would think Soraks are from the desert.
That's a good question.
It is a good question. Someone answer that question. Are Sorak and Yindish from the same planet? And then it'd be like.
It could be though. It could be. They could.
And I think maybe Marauders or something. Rebs and Marauders. Cause those two don't get an expansion yet. We have Enforcers.
Yep.
And
the Forge Plague. Fathers have been,
The Forge Fathers really haven't had an expansion. Not like that.
Enforcers, Plague.
It was Pathfinders. Enforcers got it twice cause they got Pathfinders and, Veermen. And then the Pathfinders fighting zombies and
Marauders on a rebel, Marauders rebels on a jungle terrain. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. And then, yeah, do Forge Fathers you could do Forge Fathers and Asterians. That'd be a natural mix. And, I would think that one would be snow. That'd be like Forge Fathers in the snow. Asterians invading a Forge Father world or something.
Cause they are of a Nordic Viking type people.
That's how I see it. Yeah. And they got all the halters and they.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's room to expand.
And is there any models that we don't currently have that you're interested in? New Mercs or something that you think's not missing?
I think I've already said the Nameless are we're missing in particular, but
Star Saga's kind of bringing them in.
Yeah, they're bringing them in. But if as just a throwing it out there, the Veermen need work.
Well, obviously, but we'll talk about that later when we talk about our battle reports. But.
Oh, okay. So you're just talking about like a particular model, not necessarily a new.
No, not a race. I'm thinking, yeah, it's model.
Not a race, but like I was thinking the whole package.
Yeah.
Filling out.
Like, well, obviously we need, Reb snipers don't have a model yet. Things like that. But I'm thinking more, maybe even Mercs, because Mercs would be the ones that you get solo models. Unless they want to start adding actual new units to.
Until they make the Mercs, until they fix them in.
Merc book, new Merc book.
Bring them into version 2. Well, even finish them for version 1, then update them for version 2. You're right. The Rebs need it. Their sniper. Now that they've made the items different than the models, like it's not, they're going to have to start. Offering some stuff, maybe like a.
Cause there is no hard plastic Rebs yet. The Rebs never got the hard plastic treatment, cause they're not in Warpath, so they never got that. So we need to get like a Rebs package with a bunch of weapons options.
Yeah.
And not all your humans look like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, or the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
You know what? Maybe a new dwarf militia.
Yeah, we need those. We had the old ones from Warpath, but they're like really different scale. When I put them next to the other ones, they look really small.
They're like halflings.
They are.
They're from the Shire.
Oh, gnomes. Dwarves need some gnomes.
Put little cone hats on there.
I do love your
game. Riding a fox.
We talked about this already. I seem to have deja vu.
when you're sleeping, I creep in your head.
And then there's, he's riding a fox.
I believe that's true.
I believe that's true. Factually,
that is fact.
That is fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Dwarves, the militia definitely need updating. Once again, hard plastic. They need hard plastic.
And motion. I only mention that because we're doing the next team building exercise is going to be the dwarves.
Dwarves. Yeah.
And I've done my research, and not only can you not field too many of those little stumpy bastards, but it's pretty slim pickings.
Well,
if I have for the models that we have for me to field something, like, yeah, I could, I could brock out with my cock out. Don't get me wrong.
Well, we only don't have many brockers actually. Brockers are something we don't have much.
But I would like to see the militia in modern.
New, yeah, modernized, yeah. Yeah.
And what about you?
Alternate sculpts for most things, like just to have a different variety of things. Or once again, hard plastic treatment where you can make your own variety. Like I recently I'll talk about it. Edit that one out. So we'll talk about a different episode.
Prank caller.
But yeah, hard plastic for most things. Anything that doesn't have hard plastic right now, they need them. But yeah, variety in sculpts, just different. Like that's why the Pathfinders are cool. They got a lot of different, like you can do different standing, crouched, guys with hoods, guys without hoods, bald women, and nice variety there. So I think the Rebs are lacking in the variety. There is no, the only girl is the leader, I think. Oh, and the Teratons, because they're girls.
And, yeah.
But the only human-looking female is the leader.
You're a fan of a strong female.
Well, at least get some variety in sculpts, right?
Yeah.
It's just different stuff. And dwarves, who knows? They could be all girls. Dwarves, women have beards, I hear.
And, well, one day you'll see one.
A dwarf woman?
A woman's beard.
And that'd be edited out, too. yeah.
Why did we become a swarthy? I became a Frenchman there for a second.
But yeah. So, yeah, hard plastic things. I don't know. What else are we thinking? Other alien races?
Yeah.
Crystallins?
It's one of those things that I know is being addressed because of Star Saga already. So my wish list is pretty much being fulfilled as we speak.
That's true. There's a lot of variety there. See, it's a problem with it. It's hard to. I don't want a new faction, like you say, but I would like additions to other factions.
If we get a new faction, it has to be vastly different.
Well, obviously, we're going to get Nameless. Handled. Nameless and GCPS are definitely in the working. Like, that's. We know that's going to happen.
I'm hoping the Jeep CPDS, GSC. I hope they turn into. They turn into the median stat line.
Yeah.
And the enforcers can get. Go
pushed up a bit.
Get returned to a more of an elite fighting force.
Nice.
And the Nameless, even if they're not.
It's going to be hard to make the Nameless not like the Plague, right? They're going to be very similar because they're both like, or a Nameless more biological weapons, like not.
Are you speciesist? Because they could doff their caps thusly, have a monocle, and why, hello.
Well, so far the pictures we've seen of them, they look just
That's just the cover. That's just the cover of the
book,
my friend.
They play Dreadball. They play Dreadball and stuff. They're obviously – and what's his name is
– I hope they're –
Who's Oberon? Oberon is a merc.
I hope they're well-learned.
He wears clothes.
I hope they have a penchant.
That's why I hope – because the ones they show in for the Star Saga are all like clothless monsters. I hope they're not like that. I hope they're like – intelligent. Because Oberon's intelligent, and the Dreadball guys are super intelligent.
Yeah.
And more psychics. I think we need more psychics. I think one of the Nameless got
to
be a psychic.
So psychics, that has to be improved, the psychicness in general. The rules are pretty, like, everyone's got the same powers.
Yeah, stuff. More powers, yeah.
Yeah, I would just like that streamlined a little bit, but now we're getting way off topic.
It's more rules.
So
we're thinking expansions.
Yeah.
Well, definitely a Merc's book we want. And they've already announced that we're going to have, Ronnie said it many times, we want a Merc's book so you can make Merc factions. And
to make a Merc faction would be pretty snaz, but
hopefully not too powerful.
Just to have the stats there so that you can make scenarios, you can make, you know, mix stuff up. But yeah.
But definitely fix the points and fix the abilities in some of them, like they've done with Dr. Simmons. But even then, as a merc, she's useless. She's good as a leader now.
Yeah, her stat line.
But to take her as a merc, I don't see the point.
No, her stat line doesn't make her a choice pick. Now having her as a,
but that does come back
stuff.
That comes back to us always saying that there's her heroes and then there's mercs.
Yeah,
she's her like they're always the heroes. The Forge Father guys who only work for Forge Fathers.
So if anyone at Mantic's listening, those are some free ideas.
That's right.
There is
please use them.
What.
They're free. So they can
okay.
Use them.
Yes. Yeah. We don't even like. At no point am I just gonna.
I don't even want credit.
No, I'm not even gonna.
Because then people just bitch at us.
Hey, you're the one who said that the Nameless had to wear top hats, right? Well, I didn't say they had to.
Why are they all monocles now?
You're stupid.
The coach is yelling at you. Is that your coach impression?
That was not my coach impression.
But anyways, yes, so yeah, different expansions. I also would love to see a space station with a 4x4 board with an actual space station, indoor rules, no rules about, you know,
search rules.
Like we've invented our search rules.
Yeah, we bodged our own together.
But I'd love to see a mat that's inside in a space station, make some rules for it, have the Veerman in there attacking or something, or anything, like even like a zombie on a space station outbreak would be fun. Or eventually they'll bring the Zor in, I'm sure. They can be like an alien from the movie Alien substitute.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with the Zor lore, in the game itself. Obviously, I know they're in Dreadball, and I know that
they look like insects.
They kind of look like bugs, but do they fill the xenomorph?
No, I think they're more intelligent than that. I think they're more like the Starship Trooper bugs.
Well, hello. I'm a Zor. I am adjusting my monocle thusly. Oh, a Nameless. Good
day, sir.
Cheerio, old chap.
Chip, chip. No, like, you know how we're in Starship Troopers, there was a brain bug and he controlled them. I think it's more like that.
Oh, okay.
And one of the brain bugs must be really into Dreadball. He just plays Dreadball. He sends out his source to play Dreadball.
Hey, if I was all-powerful, all-knowing bug czar, that's what I would do, is make them play sports.
Although I think there's an I think they – I don't know if they're the ones. Maybe it's a Nameless that – or maybe it's all of them that they implied that they're clones or like fake. They're not real.
Which one is it that they – I think the Hysterians, they say they're just –
Yeah, because they're like look like Khaleesi, but they're not actually –
Yeah, because it would mess
they're
with
just the, humans dressed up like Hysterians.
Genetically modified clones or something.
Yeah. So – well, they're also in the lore, there is look just like human robots, like replicants that in the stories. Because remember that one short story? There's that replicant that comes and visits the
yes.
So there is the yes. there is robots
in the story.
It's Westworld.
She drops a can of condensed milk, and then someone picks it up.
Then the Nameless picks it up and says, "Good day, sir."
Madam, you have dropped your condensed milk.
Yes, it is Westworld. They built Westworld into they pre built. It's not like they invented it.
No,
but replicants slash Westworld robots are already existing in the Mantic universe.
It is a fact.
Fact. And, yeah. Well, I think that we went over some expansions there.
Nice little, we just riffed a little on,
If you guys have any ideas, please post below, post on the Facebooks, post in the old YouTubes.
Find me on Growler.
I'm afraid to ask. And,
it's like Grindr. But for bears like myself.
Ew. I'm sorry to ew your lifestyle choice.
Wow. Close-minded much?
And we do have a Facebook group. Go on Dead Zone the Podcast on Facebook. Find us there. You can post on there. Please, interact.
There's lively discussions. You're not going to be disappointed if you want to hear some opinions.
Well, that's definitely in the WGC or the Dead Zone or the Dead Zone Fanatics. There's opinionated people in there, including Coach.
What?
Coach has an opinion? Please listen to the last team building exercise to see your coach's opinions. They may not reflect out Zeds on the podcast, but they do in that
they
case.
Yeah. In that particular instance, it is dead on, toes to the line exactly, but.
There you go. We'll be back. We'll talk about some other things, including a battle report and what we've been up to. When we're back from this ye old commercial.
Make sure to listen to this commercial very carefully. Inside of it is hidden some codes for Steam.
We're not sure. He doesn't mean the computer program Steam. He literally means Steam in his shower.
Yes, yes.
It talks to him.
Yeah, the water in a certain state at a certain temperature.
Temperature? I've been drinking.
It's time to enter the Strike Zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
Welcome back to this show of Dead Zone Podcast 62. It is now November. Where's our Kickstarter?
Yes, what should have been a October in our greasy hands.
No, it was originally September.
Well, we knew that was a pipe dream. But October was when I thought maybe.
But you're supposed to think the earliest date possible, so January.
That was not for this particular Kickstarter.
Wrong Kickstarter.
And I think my boyish enthusiasm, my, you know.
Joie de vivre.
Yeah, was kind of tainted by the last one. So I was willing to give, I was going to say, okay, September. No, you take a month. You just, October, if you could, please. Now it's November.
Yeah. But we have other things to work on. I did paint up a Hund or a Rin Nomad. I think it's a Hund. The Hund is the MVP. MVP? Merc? Because he's got the sniper rifle, I believe. And the two guns, I think. So I painted him up.
Yes.
I made him all deserty.
Yes.
And I also painted up my dwarf bikers I got from that Kickstarter I was going to use for my Forge Fathers. And I did them in the classic all metallic. And I do like their beards. The one guy's got like a nice handlebar mustache.
He does have quite the waxed and coiffed mustache.
So they're pretty fun. They're I don't know if they're even going to be available on his website if he just did it for the Kickstarter. But I do like them. They're the Apocalyptic Dwarf Bikers, which are now my Forge Fathers on, what are the bikes called? What are the Forge Fathers motorcycles called? Some name that is slightly Viking.
Some name that is slightly Viking.
That's the name of their bikes.
They're on the Olofs.
They're on the Svens.
Yes. Not to be confused with the IKEA, the occasional table.
Is that the Sven?
That is the Sven.
And what have you been up to, Jack?
From the taster box, we got some models, a little smattering of this and a little touch of that. And so before the Kickstarter was to arrive, I thought I'd better knock out some of those. So I painted a Yiddish.
Is he the correct color?
Yes, a little darker than the other ones we had.
But purple.
I made him dirtier. Yeah, he's purple, obviously.
Because all Yiddish are purple.
Obviously. He's a little dirtier. I made him a little scruffier. I painted a sword.
Does he have like a 5 o'clock shadow on a Yiddish?
They don't use time in the way that you understand. The concept.
Does he have
it's laughable that someone
does
would.
Does he have 3/4 past the tree branch on it?
Yes. Yes, he does. See, you're not as speciesist as everyone says.
It's my enforcer upbringing.
Is that why?
They programmed it into me. I can't help myself.
I'll tell town with a tree branch. Get over here, monkey boy.
Oh, monkey boy. That reminds me of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Monkey boy.
Anyways, you did a Yiddish.
A Yiddish.
A swarthy Yiddish.
A swarthy, yeah. Just it looks much like John Lithgow, too.
They all do, don't they? And is his name John? Is his name John Big Boutet?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. What else did you do?
I did a... A guy who looks like Kurgan, but he dies.
Oh, he's shot in the back?
And a guy in a white trench coat, and blonde
pretty?
Hair. Oh, he's perfect. He is perfect. No, none of that was true either. And for anyone who doesn't know Buckaroo Banzai, I apologize.
Go watch. It's the best movie ever. It made me the man I am today.
It did.
What else did you paint, really, though?
What did I really paint? A Sorak. which Sorek. I really enjoy painting him. I made him crouching. I really played around. The thing is, we have all the models already that we had.
They're extras.
Sure. So
you're just kind of like messing around with them.
You can go a little on the outsides. You can make them look a little different. You can pose them different. There's no real risk. So anyways, I did a Sorak. He used red, because that's the color of Sorak.
All Soraks are red.
Except for a sword spawn. They could be green.
Well, they're a different race. There is no sword spawns anymore anyways.
Oh, well, they could suck my man. Georgie isn't in this one, is he?
No.
Oh, then that's
overboard.
I'm back to being sorority. I painted the Sorak, the Yindish. I made a goblin sniper who's standing,
right.
And I painted him.
He's cool. How'd you do that? Explain your methodology for your goblin, standing goblin sniper.
The package comes with the standing sniper, and there's another one that was the crouching sniper.
We like to call the standing one prancing.
Georgie the prancing goblin, his legs are in such a way that he's upright. The other goblin, who is kneeling, but
crouched, aimed down his gun.
You're either prone, kneeling, or standing. I understand, but the goblin kneeling means he doesn't see past anything.
Yeah, he's so short, you can't see nothing.
And we already have like a plethora of those. So I cut them both in half, and I put the aiming sniper type goblin top torso on top of the legs of the prancing goblin.
And it turned out amazing.
And then I just used the prancing legs, like hot water treatment, and I made him standing on something. So now he's kind of a standing.
He doesn't look like he's dancing. He's more like standing and shooting.
Yes.
He looks good. And is that everything?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. Because the last time we got together, we just started playing Dead Zone, and that was it. We just went to town. So, yeah, I think of the – like I base-coded some Enforcers.
Yeah. Hey, did you finish it? Oh, we did that last time, I think. We talked about the Enforcers. You finished – I think you did Forces and Fearmen or something. I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah, it could be. No one cares.
No one cares.
I know I did more, but I can't remember what it is. So.
We'll get back to it. There's more podcasts to come. Even though we threaten that this will be the last one, it's never going to be the last one.
You keep promising me. You keep saying this is the last one.
But it's never going to happen.
I just pray for death every day, and then...
There's another Dead Zone podcast, and it lightens your spirit.
It makes me... I want to slough off this mortal coil so bad, and you're just like, no, I need you. I need you.
Oh, no.
Who's going to whisper about gnomes in your sleep? And
well, as a ghost, you'll do that, and that'll be even scarier.
There's no such thing as ghosts.
Yes, tell that to me when you're whispering in my ear when you're dead.
You were right the whole time. I mocked you for your beliefs. Hey, you're a sanctimonious asshole in death, aren't you? No, that hurts. If I had a heart, it would be broken.
Right here. Oh.
And that's the day I learned ghosts could cry.
That's the name of his autobiography.
The day I learned ghosts could cry? Yeah.
Anyways, would you like to do a shout out just to the WGC Dead Zone group on Facebook?
The WYRK.
In Cincinnati, Facebook group. Come on there, join the conversation. And also there's a map on there of locations for all the fans of Dead Zone. Not the podcast, but just Dead Zone itself. So you don't have to claim that you're a fan of us, but you can be a fan of Dead Zone. Go on there.
You can distance yourself from us quite.
Notes like, I put this on here because I do not like Dead Zone, the podcast.
Yeah, I would not blame you.
Hashtag podcast for wankers.
Podcast for wankers. Is that the name of your autobiography?
That's true. But anyways, you can go on there. And put a pin in the map, so we do want to see where everybody's from.
It's a lively discussion.
It also get people, if you put a pin in there, maybe other people will see that and say, hey, there's players in my area, and you can find people to play. So we'll take another break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about our epic games we had. We do a battle report. It's been a while.
And this ad is a new one from the makers of a brand of iced tea that I personally enjoy. So please listen and purchase said iced tea. We'd appreciate it.
That was a test endorsement. This is actually just a Family Gamers Club ad.
Oh. Test iced tea. When you have a hankering for ice and or tea.
FOG Andrew and the coach here, and we would like to tell you about our YouTube channel, Family of Gamers 777.
Family of Gamers covers the hobby from topics like airbrushing, painting, building, converting, unboxings, interviews, and much, much more.
We go over in-depth tactics and battle reports of games like Dead Zone, Warhammer 40k, X-Wing, Kings of War, and Wild West Exodus.
So go over to Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube and become part of the family.
Welcome back to Coach and Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jake.
We now present to you a Dead Zone Battle Report.
Welcome back.
Wasn't that a great iced tea ad?
It was.
We'll take ads. We'll sell out in a second, people.
Oh God, yes. We will dance. We will
shuck and jive.
We'll turn this into a minstrel show so fast for some of the sweet, sweet greenbacks. Oh,
that iced tea money.
The stuff we would do. I don't cut Pepperidge Farms. If you're a kill shelter and you just, you know, I will put aside any of my beliefs, any things that I hold dear, I will discard immediately for enough money. So, you know,
just be aware of that.
Yes, everyone just.
And, we had a battle report, and it was, we were testing Veermen because, we did the Veermen team building exercise. And afterwards we're like, they can't be as bad as we said.
Yeah. We knew, just looking at their stats, we knew they were subpar, and we right off the hop, we were kind of like, yeah, they're not great. Man.
But once you get them on the board, things show up and you're like, oh yeah, okay, this is why they work.
Yeah. And some of the things I thought, okay, would work. Coach was like, no, it's not going to. And then it all came out in the wash. It was.
So we'll talk about our first game. It was, Jack playing Veermen.
Yep.
And I was playing the Asterians.
Yes. Space Elves.
And, let's just say the Asterians with the Kalishi as the troops. And the pulse bombard.
Yeah. The Asterians did some Asterian. Yep. That's for sure.
That's why they used to be Asterians, as in they are ass. Now they're Asterians.
Asterrorists, because they.
Yeah. I think the game lasted two turns, if that.
I will say that we were playing by our special Dead Zone, the podcast, drinking game rules. And I was playing by the George Thorogood rules. That meant if a Veerman went down like a cowardly bitch, I had to drink for one Veerman. It was one shot and one beer. As obviously that's the George Thorogood rules. Everyone knows that. I was blotto by.
Because the first round, pulse bombard, range 8, blew up his Veerman on their starting block before they got to move.
And after that, first game, the Veerman didn't take a shot.
One Veerman got to my leader, remember?
Within combat range.
Yeah.
One eventually snuck through, but it was such a pasting.
Well, you did try to kill a couple, Kalishi, but you just whiffed and they missed and they just murdered everyone.
Yeah.
Kalishi, I think I had 4 Kalishi. They just went out and they just did what they do.
But they are the go-to troop for the Asterians. Like, you didn't pull any punches. At no point were you like, let's...
Well, this was the first game I've ever won of Dead Zone 2.0.
That is true.
It took you being drunk playing the Veerman, but I did
wasn't drunk to start with, but I got there. I got there.
So, yeah, the Veerman, the Asterians, they overpowered them quite quickly. I did have one Pulse Bombard and 2 Plasma Vortexes. So anytime a Veerman popped its head out, the Plasma Vortex shot them, and then even when they didn't pop their heads out, the Pulse Bombard was landing on them.
And then the
Kalishi just mopped up.
Pretty without...
No, I didn't lose resistance. A model. Yeah. I never lost one model. And I think I actually tabled you. I think I didn't table you because I think you had your leader left, and we just called it.
Yeah, because we were playtesting. So like the point wasn't to see like the epic struggles of one guy left on the board. It was okay. This was a a complete wash, so let's move on.
Yeah, so the Asterians destroyed the Veermen pretty handily. So we're like, okay, maybe it's just the Asterians. They're very powerful now. They're one of the best races.
Yes.
So we second game, it was a Jackley Veermen still.
Yep.
And I took the Rebs, because the Rebs, you know, they just got improved recently. And this game, a little closer, slightly. I think you did kill quite a few Yindish with your Veermen.
It wasn't the Veermen, though. It was the grenades I had given the Veermen.
Yeah, you didn't. Well, that was against. I had three rebel snipers, I believe, in that army. And you did use the grenades to stop the snipers just from murdering you.
Yes.
Which didn't help because it just got back up and murdered you. But
yes. Again, like the Veermen, the ranges are so terrible and their stats are so terrible that base troops cannot bring. They're not in line with the rest of the troops. But also, I had a Maligny and I had the Nightmare with the drill. I think I took the two drills.
Yep, two drills, yeah.
Even the Nightmare with the two drills is not as good as a comparable.
Well, I had a Rebel Terraton, and that Rebel Terraton just kept teleporting into people, killing them, teleporting into people, killing them. And the only person I was afraid of, you had one of your grenade launcher guys hiding in a building, and my Rebel Terraton just went doot, doot, doot right there and finished him off, and that was pretty much your only chance of doing damage.
Yeah, yeah. The Veermen fall short in every category, and I'm not saying they have to be. They're not competitive, and I don't think not all the factions have to be competitive.
Oh, I think they do.
I will play Veermen again because I like them. They don't have a feel yet. If they just adjusted the feel that made it something that if that was your play style and you enjoyed that, that's fine. They don't need to be competitive, but they're not. Right now,
they're not competitive in the least because it was not even like it was. I had a Grogan with finally a Grogan lived through a game, and he was just mowing people down too.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fish in a barrel. My grenades were surprises that I
grouped up my snipers so that you were able to grenade them off. But I don't think they even died. They just got back up.
No, I think they were the grenades were a pleasant surprise, and I'm not going to say that it's the only thing that did any damage, but I think I might have got one shot off before I was tabled again.
Well, mostly it was, I think you had some stalkers who came in and I kept trying to hold objectives and you kept running in and killing Yindish. And the stalkers are just as good as a Yindish with I think I gave him combat blades. So it was a good fight, but
yeah,
you kept going in and killing my Yindish that were shooters. So they didn't have any weapons really in. And, in the end, it was the Terraton, the snipers, and the Grogan that did all the damage on my side.
At one point, I think it was this game, that you rolled so many eights that I had to go make myself a double martini and chug it out of disgust. I think that was that game.
I think it was the end of the last game, actually, with the Asterians. When you tried to kill my leader, I think that's when it was like eights.
I just literally had to walk away. And
so we play a third game.
Yes.
And we're like, Veermen are going to win this game.
One way or the other, Veermen are going to win this game.
Because we played Veermen versus Veermen.
Yes.
And it wasn't true, neither, because we never finished the game.
We had to walk away. The writing was so on the wall, we just were like, let's get some pizza.
And what happened was every time either of us sent a Veermen into a fight, we'd run up a guy into a fight, that Veermen would die. Never failed. The Veermen would run in and he'd get killed. So we entered we created a new verb called Veermening.
Yes. If you rush in hand to hand, whomever it is on the other side of that, I don't care if it's a Chovar psychic. I don't care if it's a goblin sniper. I don't care if it's a rebel drone.
Yep.
Use your fight stat to go back because you will kill the attacker, and that's Veermening.
Every time the only two people that died in that fight were people who charged in and tried to fight the other guy, and they just get killed. And I think I had a tangle, and you knocked my tangle over.
I did suppress your tangle in the first time that I was able to get a shot off with a weapon that wasn't the grenade launcher. I didn't even think I got the. I might have shot the grenade launcher once.
I think you did because didn't you shoot into your square with your own guy?
I think I did.
And then he was hiding. You were hiding your leader in a building, and you sent me a sneaky pic of him.
I took a picture of my leader hidden in the building, and I was like,
he'll get this days later.
When he gets this, I'll have already sprung my trap, and he took his nightmare and dumped him into the building on top of him. I was like, oh. He didn't even see the picture yet. So when he got the picture, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy I'm beating on? Thanks.
So yeah, Veermen. We've discussed this. I don't know if we mentioned team building exercises, but they are Everybody else has had two iterations of their of their lists, at least two. Veerman have only had one iteration. They've only come out in Infestation. So they need another round to improve them, just like the Rebs did, just like the Asterians did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll bring them up. They just need that round.
So
fear not, Veerman players. Hopefully they're listening and they'll improve these guys.
Yeah, the moral of the story is they're shoddy now, but...
There's potential.
There's potential. It, like Rob said it the best today, the base is good. It's got a solid, solid foundation. They just need that one thing that... It's not even necessarily a stat change or something. They just need that je ne sais quoi. That
point should go down. Maybe give them armor. They all should have scout. Anybody should have scout, it's Veerman. Because they should be everywhere. So they should be sneaking around. They should have scout for sure. The Nightmares need to be bigger size. They need only tough, size two, I think. They need tougher armor. All the names are the same. I can never remember names is the same.
The problem is they don't have anything that can answer the specialists from any other faction.
Yeah. Their ranges are all really short.
Their troops are shoddy, but you'd think, okay, one of their specialists should be powerful enough to, say, match a Terraton. Or they should have a shooter in there that could possibly match a Rainmaker. You know, but there's nothing.
There's not much AP. Their ranges are super short range. The things that are long range are hard to get on the board, like the Wiener cannons and things like that. Like Coach said, it's hard to get lines of sight with those things because they're a vehicle. They can't, like, at least the drones. My drones could go up, so they're on top of the building, get better lines of sight.
Yeah, because a vehicle needs a ramp, a drone doesn't.
Yeah, and or just make them cheaper. If you just made everybody super cheap, that would even it out.
We said during the team building exercise, Coach was like, even if they're 2 points cheaper each, but now.
It needs to be even more than that.
At the time, I was like, yeah, that probably works because that would add an extra model to what the 200-point list that we were doing. But one model with the stats
much,
doesn't change. You
literally need double the models, I think.
It literally just adds a more target-rich environment for your opponent.
It's like when we were playtesting zombies. We were like, they need to be tougher. We doubled the number of zombies.
Are we allowed to say that? Because that was...
The question is, are we in the book? I'm not sure.
Okay, if we're in the book, we can't say this.
Well, I've yet to receive my Nexus Eye, so.
We may or may not do playtesting.
Playtested Nexus Eye.
On Nexus Eye. We've done a lot of playtesting. We're on the inside track now. But.
Anyways.
If you get Nexus Eye, our names may be in it, and we'll be playtesting.
And if they have been, otherwise this is just conjecture. But
this is a fantasy. This is a radio play.
We said that
play.
There should be more zombies fighting.
This is a radio play put on, presented, fiction. In no way would you be legally held to any standard, I wouldn't think, if perhaps we were.
I think it's out now. I think the NDA is done.
Oh. Yeah.
Come sue us, bitches. Yeah, so we just doubled the zombies, and then it was like more even fight. Because it's an even fight against Pathfinders, but against other races, it's not an even fight. Zombies are really wimpy.
Hopefully, we don't know what the final will be.
During the beta.
We were at the beginning, it was very, very much like the original zombie rules. And, you know, we had some input in the here and there. Who knows what's going to be the official?
We will talk about it more once we get the book. We'll go through it and discuss it.
And once I've consulted my lawyer, because right now I'm wondering.
We're not sure about the legal ramifications of our words. Anyway.
Episode 63 on the Chain Gang. Here we are breaking
63.
Rocks.
Hey, my name's John, and this is Frank. We're the new hosts of Dead Zone the Podcast.
Yeah, we had it gifted to us.
those other schmoes are doing some time in Leavenworth.
Yeah, they traded a podcast for something in the commissary. The prisoners in the prison were in. Are now doing the podcast. Is that the narrative you were going for?
No, that's pretty funny.
Okay, what were you doing? Because I think
I was thinking some mafioso that somehow ended up with the
Mantic sent in goons.
Yeah, goon squad.
Who is it? Hired goons. Come in.
We're here for your podcast.
Okay. Both equally funny. Both comedy gold, both gems, and
choose which narrative you prefer when
you
hear.
Whichever one made you laugh the most.
Yeah.
And we know you laughed at both of them, but would you whichever made you laugh the most.
So yeah, on that high note, join Luigi and Franco for the next episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. I've been Rob.
And I'm still Jack.
And we're going to jail.
Prison toilet wine.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is Tula.
Astro!
Oi there, Dirigible. Help a fellow in Parsis note, would you?
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
For far too long.
I once knew a Spaniard in Tarragona who spoke in gibberish like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Ooh,
now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com